One in Shir and Chavos Halvavos, Shar HaBitachon, Sunday afternoon, the 24th of Adar, 15th of March. Okay, so we're learning Chavos Halvavos, Shar HaBitachon. We're at the end of the Psicha. The Psicha tells us the benefits of a person that has been Kone Bitachon. How to be Kone Bitachon, that's what the Shar is about. We defined bitachon, and we went through the list of the spiritual benefits, and now we're up to the last item on his list of physical benefits, temporal benefits, we'll call it. Number one was the lack of stress, because Hashem's taking care of everything, so there's no point in being stressed. You're not in control. Number two is when you look for something to do, for parnosa. Number two specifies traveling a lot, which in the Chavos Halvavos' days was very debilitating. But number three is really the more general yesod about, you know, picking a job to do. And he says, listen, if it's if you have bitachon, you won't pick something that's physically draining, that's or emotionally draining, or it doesn't exactly give you a good reputation. If you become a politician, or you have to make sure it leaves you time for ruchnius, and so all these things, anything. So we, you know, the klal is, I mean, people have jobs, and not everybody's satisfied in their job. According to the Chavos Halvavos, job satisfaction is a requirement. Not a requirement, a requirement, but he says it's very necessary. He says that he will say at the end of Perek Gimel that since the job you do to earn money is only your hishtadlus, but that's not what's really earning you the money, it's just the vehicle through which Hashem is sending you the money. So how do you pick a job, right? Because you can pick anything in the world and Hashem will send it to you, assuming it's above the bar of hishtadlus. They say you don't try to sell horseshoes, you know, for people who have horses. So his answer is, and one of his criteria is to have job satisfaction. So, you know, if you follow the Chavos Halvavos, that would be a major component of your search for a job. But in number three, he just says you won't do anything, we said, that will render you dysfunctional in any way. You know, a person with the right attitude towards the bitachon hishtadlus balance, it's not really a balance, because bitachon has to be 100%, and then you have to do hishtadlus, but it's not supposed to, you know, eat away at your bitachon. So, what he's saying here, you know, he's making a list of benefits. He's saying the person with bitachon will not take a job that renders them, as I say, dysfunctional, whether it's physically, the job is not one that the person is physically cut out for, or emotionally cut out for, or it gives them a bad reputation, etc., etc. Doesn't leave time for ruchnius, let's say. Or there's nisyonos in the workplace. Sometimes people end up with a job and they're very uncomfortable there, whether it's sneers, or the way people talk, or lashon hara, or honesty, all kinds of nisyonos. So the Baal Bitachon, you know, leaves the job and, you know, says Hashem's going to be the one providing me with a job, so it's not, this is not what's giving me the money. That's the point. We're up to the fifth, number four is you don't get nervous from the fluctuations of the business. If you have too much inventory, not enough inventory, you get nervous. I had a slow day, it was a slow week, what's going to be? And this, in the real world, people get very nervous from this. So that's how he calls it. Miut tsa'ar nafsho. He doesn't have that tension if things are not the way he thinks they should be. And he says a very powerful statement, which is very important for bitachon, which is the way a Baal Bitachon would think. He says, this is the end of the fourth one, and they shu yodeya, but it is a very important sentence, that's why I'm repeating it inside, and they shu yodeya shki aborius baruch masakin in yono yosem imenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being there for him and doing for him what he needs more than he himself would do, this is a big yisod. You have to be able to say this sentence. Maybe you don't want to say it out loud because people think this, they might think you're a Baal Tshuva, Chas V'Shalom. But, you know, Hashem loves you more than you love yourself. Hashem loves you more than anybody else in the world and more than you love yourself. Hashem does what's good for you more than you would do what's good for yourself, simply because, first of all, he can, and second of all, he knows what's good for you more than you know what's good for yourself. And Hashem takes everything into account when he does what's best for you. He might be taking your neshama into account. Maybe you're not so happy about that. Maybe you would wish, you know, can't you take my goof into account a little more? But it doesn't work like that. Hashem knows what's truly good for you. So you don't get nervous. You have a slow week. Hashem gave you a slow week. You have to figure out why Hashem gave you a slow week. Maybe it's to kick you in the, I can't say in the pants, kick you in the skirt. Maybe it's to give you more time to do chesed, or for a man to learn. Who knows? But the point is, he doesn't get panicky. He doesn't worry. If you have many, many, many slow weeks, or many, many slow months, and you have to talk to someone. Maybe it has fallen below the bar of ishtadlus. Maybe the market for this thing has dried up, and it's time to move on. But it's okay, because Hashem wants you to move on, maybe. So we all wish we had a Navi that we just knock on the door and ask the Navi what message Hashem is sending me. So we don't. And that's part of the Hester Ponim that we suffer after the Nevuah stopped, or actual Ruach HaKodesh, the person could just pull out at will. But in terms of bitachon, I always say, you know yourself, if you're panicky and you're not having bitachon, or you're very comfortable with your bitachon level and your mind's in the right place, but no point beating a dead horse. It's time to move on. For such a shikul, which is very, very difficult to do, you have to have a good friend, or a rav, or a mentor, or someone that you can talk it over with, and, you know, because it's very hard to be honest with oneself. Okay, number 5, which is the last on the list of physical benefits, Olam Hazeh benefits, we'll call it. And this is already not bitachon, well, we're not talking about bitachon per se, we're talking about the benefits of bitachon. So number 5 is simply that you're sumeach b'chelko. And even if things happen that are not so pleasant, things that you think you would rather them not have happened, the pasuk to be makabel it b'simcha, like we say, chayav adam lebarach al hara, chas v'shalom, exchange of barach al hatova. That's not the definition of bitachon. Some people think it is, but it's not. But he's talking about a benefit now. The Baal Bitachon will be able to do this, because you can't have Bitachon, as the Chavis HaLovitz will explain in Perek Beis and in Perek Gimel. You can't have Bitachon unless you're there with this Midah. Like, call it Kol Ma David Rachmona L'Tav David. You won't have Bitachon, you can't. You can't have Bitachon if you think Hashem is gonna mess you up. Hashem's gonna, you know, hit you when you're down. If you think he might do that, then you obviously you won't rely on him. How can you rely on a power that might mess you up? It doesn't. So that's number 5. Number 5, and why is that a benefit of Olam Hazeh? Because let's face it, people, Olam Hazeh is full of troubles and problems, and Agmas Nefesh, everybody gets their own obstacle course. Designer label made special for them, custom made, their obstacle course. I don't know anybody that doesn't have an obstacle course. Sometimes people, you can have a person whose obstacle course is that he doesn't have an obstacle course. And therefore he has to really perform. You know, he has to excel. And that's his obstacle course. Will he be able to just not be satisfied to be as good as everyone else, or to be a little better, but really reach his full potential? Because Hashem didn't put any obstacles in his way, and that's a very difficult obstacle to overcome, because he looks around, he says, like, well, you know, why do I have to, you know, well, be like everyone else. Meanwhile, the other people are having all sorts of problems in their homes, or with their children, or with parnoso, or with their health, you don't know. And, you know, if they're learning, for example, of a man, if they're learning for an hour a day, that's like unbelievable. And if you learn for an hour a day, you're going to get patched for it. If you learn for an hour a day, you're on top of the world. Anyway, the fifth benefit of bitachon is being able to cope, much more than being able to cope, being the simcha at whatever happens to you. Simchaso, b'chol inyan sheyatiku, elov, whatever Hashem drags him into, he's someach, he understands it's best, and that makes simcha. We have this in Mishar Cheshbon HaNefesh, if you were here for it. This is one of the, this particular Cheshbon HaNefesh, how to think to happily accept what Hashem, you know, deals you. The Baal Bitachon will be able to do that. It's not the definition of Bitachon, but the Baal Bitachon has developed this midah as well, because without it, you can't get the first base. You cannot have Bitachon. V'miya k'neged ha-teva, tivo, even if it's against his nature, because he really, you know, this is like a tragedy to him. This is the worst news possible. So, but nevertheless, he says, I'm happy. I mean, it's very big madrega. Halavai, we just accept it. And as Hashem's will, and we're sort of happy, and as we know it's Hashem's will, and we accept it. But he wants more than that here, Chavis Alvavas. May bitchono belokim, because of his reliance on Hashem, which is predicated, shelo yasa lo ela hatov lo b'chol inyan. Hashem is only doing what's good for him, so he should feel that, he should internalize that, and when you feel that and internalize that, so you then you're b'simcha. You're b'simcha no matter what Hashem doles out to you, because you know it's good for you, so you say, thank you, Hashem. It's hard, it's very hard, especially if, like, really, bad things happen, bad quote unquote, you know, but certainly they're bad, we make a dynamis on certain things, so nothing wrong with calling it bad in this world. We see that it demands a different bracha, but Adarabba the Gemara then tells us that you have to make that bracha b'simcha. The benefit, I'll call it coping with bad news, tragic news, difficult news, but really he says more than coping. To be honest, he says simchaso b'chol in shiatiku elav, because he knows, you know, like parents tell their kids, if you know what's good for you, usually the next thing is a smack. But Hashem does know what's good for us. That's the bottom line. And now he compares it to something we can all relate to. I can't relate to, because I could probably say I never diapered a baby. But he compares it to a diapering a baby, and the baby is kicking and screaming. Have a wonderful life. I don't know, maybe I have I don't know if she has a wonderful husband. My father never diapered a baby. I look, my father's my role model, that's all. What? My boys are great. They clean the house, they diaper, they do dishes. They're a new generation. They're new, no. In many ways I'm not. But they're the new generation. They're there. They're modern. They're the new generation. They do a lot. Okay. I mean, their wives all work very, very hard. Really, they're all in their wives work very hard, and they help them, you know. Actually, my wife was soivelit, if I get a little personal for a second, because her role model were her parents, and her parents were like that. Her father didn't do a thing. In the house, I'm talking about, whether it's cooking or cleaning, it was so foreign. And my father didn't, it was very foreign. So she grew up like that, and I grew up like that, so it was like very natural. But my kids are already the next generation, and you know, they see everybody around them, and their peers are all helping the wives. I mean, to have a decent marriage. So, anyway, what does this have to do with the Chaim Salvov? The Chaim Salvov. I once came close to diapering a niece, but I did. But my sister came home in the nick of time. Yeah, oh yeah, the newspaper under the swing was sopping wet. At least it didn't get to the rug. I was about to give up. And then my sister walked in. I said, anyway, but listen to, but, it's okay. She didn't get diaper-ish. I wouldn't have known what to do. Oh, I once took off a diaper and let her run around naked. I didn't know what else to do. Anyway, the Chavis Alvavus compares the listen to this marshal, it's very powerful. He says he compares the things that happen in our lives, and Hashem knows what he's doing, and therefore we should be happy, to a person diapering a baby, and we all know that the baby is kicking and screaming and crying, and you have to pin back their hands sometimes, and you have to pin down their feet. And you're cleaning the baby. You're cleaning. You know, he wants to be clean. She wants to be clean. So that's what the Chavis Alvavus is compared to. Tasa ha'em ha'chomelis l'bna, out of the great love that the mother has to the infant, berechitzaso, she washes him off in the bath, right? You give an infant a bath, he's also, before they start enjoying it, he's kicking and screaming. V'chitulo, which is diapering him, ukshiroso, vataroso, alkarcho, he's struggling not to let you do it. And that's what he's doing. I mean, you can compare it to a lot of things. You can compare it to a doctor operating on a patient. But that's, if you, the Baal Bitachon will have this midah. How does it fit in? Where? We'll be learning about that in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel, because this is a necessary component and building block in order to develop Bitachon. We didn't learn that, how to develop Bitachon. He did a benefit. The benefit is that the Baal Bitachon is there. He has this midah, and this saves your life. It saves you from depression. It saves you from resentment. It saves you from going around the house growling and grouching and yelling at your spouse or at your children because something bad happened to you. This is a marvelous thing. To accept it b'simcha, you know, it's not chedalavus, it's chiddush, it's a gemara. Because the Gemara says you have to make that bracha of Dayan Emes b'simcha, which is very, very, very weird. It really is weird, because you're making a Dayan Emes, which means you're categorizing it as bad. In this world, we make Dayan Emes. In Lost Lover, we won't be making Dayan Emes. But in this world, we're making Dayan Emes, because there's a cognitive disassociation from how it's good. So we have to make a Dayan Emes. But then the Gemara demands of us that we make it b'simcha. I always have a lot of trouble with that. You're making dynamics, which means you don't see how it's good. So then, how could you be besimcha? Teretz is, I mean, I know the answer is you're supposed to believe it's good, but you're supposed to be besimcha. It can't be phony, it has to be real. If it's real, then it's not really bad news, right? But you just don't know how. Okay. We'll leave it for now, but this is what the Chavis Alvavus compares it to, and he says it's a perish and pasuk can tell him. Kamo shomar David olav ashalom, imlo shivisi v'doimamti nafshi kagamul alei imo kagamul alei nafshi, like an infant, right? And David HaMelech, if you learn Nach, very few people had as rough a life as David HaMelech, right? He lived 70 years. He started off life thrown out of his home, thinking he was not kosher, sent out of his home, thrown out of his home. Then his father-in-law wanted to kill him. Then his son wanted to kill him. And then they had the story with Bathsheba. Then Sheba ben Bichri. I mean, he went from tragedy to tragedy. I mean, and you know, he ran away. If you learn, you know, you learn Shmuel, he ran away. He didn't like maintain the melucha. He had to run away. He was in Golos from Shaul he had to go to Golos, he had to leave Eretz Yisrael, and from Avshalom he had to run away, and everybody thought he was a sinner, and they saw he wasn't building the Beis HaMikdash, and they knew about Bathsheba, and you know, there was always and there was always lurking in the background that he's really not fit to enter Klal Yisrael because his grandmother was a Moavis, and so, and he said this pasuk. I mean, he said Tillim, which is like, okay, he was David HaMelech, you know, but the fact that he said Tehillim, which is, but the, a lot of Tehillim, I'd say around, half of Tehillim reflects a prayer for Hashem to help him get out of whatever mess he's in, and the half of Tehillim is like Hallel. I think it's around half and half. Hodah to Hashem and a prayer. But this pasuk really says it all. The Chavis HaMelech says this pasuk says we're infants and Hashem is diapering us, and that's all. That's how we have to think of it. So that's the fifth physical benefit, that you can cope with difficult situations, with tragic situations, with bad situations, with things that are not pleasant. When we learned Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, if you remember, he also, there was this paragraph of being Mekabelet B'Simcha, and then there was another paragraph where he said, you know, you just accept it as something Hashem's doing, and Hashem has the right to do what he wants because everything belongs to him. So if someone, let's say, dies young tragically, so the Kabule B'Simcha on the part of the people who survived would be, you know, we don't understand that, it's certainly tragic, but you know, it's probably a good thing, right? Maybe it's a good thing for this reason or for that reason, or maybe for him it was a good thing, or for us it's a good thing, or, you know, we don't like it, it's not pleasant, but it's a good thing. And then there's just to say Hashem Nosam Hashem Lokach, which doesn't really express that it's a good thing, it just says, listen, Hashem can do what he wants, Hashem is doing something, he has a reason, and he doesn't owe us an explanation. He's doing things for his reasons, and he gave the person life. So if he decided to stop it at a certain point, there's no entitlement to live longer. So this person was supposed to live there. Hashem nosam Hashem lokach. That's really, we find in Parsha Shmini, Vayidom Aharon. Right? That's a different. It doesn't say Aharon was besimcha. Doesn't say that. So we learned in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh just two different paragraphs, one describing understanding or at least believing that it's good for you and being able to be Mekabelet B'Simcha, and the other one is just being accepting of it, but not because Hashem's stronger than you and you can't really fight him because he'll punch you back, but because Hashem is Hashem and everything belongs to him and there's no entitlement and he has a reason for doing what he's doing. You don't even have to think that, but it helps. Right? And like Vayidom Aharon, you just accept it. That, well, Kilo Machshavo Sai Machshavo Seichem, Lo Darchechem Derechoi. Yeah.
He said then that one was a higher level. I forgot.
It sounds to me, from the way the Chavis Halvavus puts it, is that Vayidom Aharon is a higher level. Because what you, I hesitate to say the word higher because the other one is already unattainable. Higher in the sense, you're in a higher place. You're in a more spiritual place. Because you're saying, you know something? They're low in Yan Shali, even. It happened to you. But you recognize Hashem's adnus over everything, and you mamish say, they're low in Yan Shali. This is not me. You know, who am I? I'm nothing. Like Hashem is the world. If I lived if an infant lived for 2 days and inexplicably was nifter, Hashem gave it 2 days of life. That's unbelievably amazing. You know, and it's more spiritual. You know, in some ways, being Mekabelet B'Simcha is already, you know, we talked yesterday, I don't know if you heard my drush yesterday, about Nasa V'Nishma. You know, when you're Mekabelet B'Simcha, you're already making Cheshbonus. It's more like Nishma. Because you're saying, well, it's good, it's a challenge, it's an Asayon, it's a challenge. Chavis HaLovus, you know, my son, you know, the Chavis HaLovus gives like six reasons, six possibilities for Tzaddik, for Ralo. Now, Tzadik Ra'ala was a major philosophical issue. Major. And Moshe Rabbeinu, right, was puzzled by it. So Nehemiah says, like, Moshe Rabbeinu was he stupid? He didn't know what the Chavis HaMavis knew. No, Nehemiah's a good boy. He got his Edelkite from his father, but it's a very pungent shaila. It means he's really, it was a very good question. You know, he put it that way, and it really, it hits you in the face, such a question. Like Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure all this out, so the teretz is it's taken deeper. Tzadik Ra'al, you know, the Chavis HaMavis is telling us how to cope. It's a coping mechanism, and it's not true what he says, but it really is. But it still says we can understand what Hashem is doing. Now here there's a level where you're making Dayan Emes. Because it's bad news in this world. It's tragic news. And we have to make it pesimcha because we have to, like, understand that it's Latova and when Hashem doesn't do Ra, Hashem only does Tov, and that creates, supposed to create simcha in us. But then there's, you know, but you're coping. You're still coping. And when you say, you know, Hashem's, is beyond me and Hashem can do what he wants, not because he's stronger than me, because he owns everything. And if you really have a deep mind, then maybe you learn Shar HaYichud, or he is everything. Everything is Hashem. So the amount of time someone lives, or the things, the events that happen in his life, if you're able to. That's Hashem. Hashem doesn't really do anything. Part of Hashem Echad is Hashem is everything. Not just he does everything, or he's the master of everything. Everything is Hashem. Everything is like a emanation of Hashem. So it's not negeya you. That's a higher madrega, I think. The Chavis HaMavis sets it up that it sounds like a higher madrega. Doesn't seem like it, because we think Vayidomaro means, because what are you going to do? You know, in Halach it says if a person by Yeshiva Chas V'Shalom says, what am I going to do? That's a bad thing to say, because if he means, what am I going to do? Hashem's stronger than me. That's not a good thing to say. That's not a good thing to say. And, you know, even when people say, you know, but I wish Hashem did it a different way. The Chavis HaMavis talks very strongly about that in Shach Cheshvan HaNefesh. It's a bad thing to say. You know, I understand what Hashem is doing, but couldn't he have done it a different way? Says the Chavis HaMavis in Shach Cheshvan HaNefesh, not only what Hashem does is best, is good, but the way it happens is best. You know, like he felt him the stoish can eitzes, that he had to pick a nature that along the way, you know, messed some people up. And the work is that there's no such thing with Hashem. So the method is also part of his cheshbon, why he's doing it. Okay, this is heavy stuff, and it's beyond really this point in the Chavis HaMavis. Okay, so we listed the Ruchni Yustika benefits and we listed the Gashmi Yustika benefits. The Chivin Shabiyakti Mitoala Sobitocha Belukim, the benefits, the Hana Osav, Batora, that's like an Olam Haba, spiritual benefits, Uba Olam, Mashin is Damingly, the Chavis HaMavis always talks very humbly, says, you know, what came to me, the ideas that came to me. Now I'll start talking about bitachon. Avorat aminyan habitachon shiva dvarim. And these are the prokim. This is the table of contents for shara bitachon. Echad mehem ma'u bitachon, to define it, but not the definition like we talk about, to define the word, which we defined as reliance, to rely on Hashem. But, you know, what is its essence? That's what he means. The word, he knows what the word is. The word is whatever the word is. If I say it's reliance, so then that's the word. Bitachon is reliance. But what's the essence of reliance? What, to go through logically, what would allow you, or make you, or enable you, that's the best word. What would enable you to have bitachon in anything? You want to have bitachon in your refrigerator? You want to rely on your refrigerator that your food didn't spoil? Fine. But by fine I mean that's a rational thing. So now we have to examine what allows you to have bitachon in your refrigerator. And so he'll give us a list. The famous seven things. Seven things allow you to have bitachon in someone. If the seven things don't fit, you're not really having bitachon. You're fooling yourself. Bashlishi is bebir hakdomos asher ba'avuron yischayev habitachon ba'lokim v'chiv v'esek v'sibos. The third item, which is in paragimel, is how to develop bitachon, the prerequisites, the hakdomos, the psychos, the introductions, the prerequisites for acquiring bitachon, and the obligation to be misasek mesibos, which is the chavis alavus words for hishtadlus. You have to be misasek in the channels through which Hashem sends food or health or whatever He sends. So you have to create those channels. That's how Hashem set up the world. The chiyuv ha'esek b'sibos, the ravi, number four, which is perek dalet. The bir advarim asher Ibrahim gii habitachon, the chiyuv shvacho v'gnuso b'hem. Number four is like mamash, a workshop where he goes through different scenarios in life. Actually, he has a long list of areas in life, different relationships, and he tells you, okay, this is how you act with your enemies, this is how you act with your friends, this is what bitachon demands of you when you interact with your employer, this is what bitachon demands of you when you interact with your employee, and it has that whole gamut. That's perek dalet, that's the fourth thing, how bitachon translates into the real world. Okay, someone just lied about me and I got fired from my job. Amazingly enough, Chazalovitz does not suggest that you take out a gun and shoot the guy. Right? He says, how does a Baal Bitachon react? See, he goes through just about virtually everything in life. And he says, including doing mitzvahs and including Olam Haba. And that's where he talks about Bechira and Bitachon, and if they could mesh, or if they can't mesh. V'chamishi behefresh yesh bein esek habodech balokim basibus hater v'bein esek mishena batech balokim bohem. Very interesting parak chamishi. It's like a self-test. You know, like you have a blood pressure machine at home. So this is a self-test if you have bitachon. I don't know, that bitachon, sometimes I think I have it, then I think I'm fooling myself, and I really don't, because I did this and I did that. So number five, which is actually Perek Chamishi, lists things. The Baal Bitachon is smiling, but not Baal Bitachon is stressed. The Baal Bitachon, and he goes through a whole bunch of things, which for a few years I never really understood the point of it. I used to think maybe the point is, who should you be friends with? You see, I want to be friends with the Baal Bitachon, so these are the telltale signs. Then I realized it's probably a self-test. So, do I have Bitachon? Well, let me see. I walk around stressed. I walk around nervous. You know, you go down the list, you go, uh-oh, I got work to do. Vashishi, Babiro Fane, Chiyuv Gnus, Dasa, Omen, Ba'arichas, Hatayvus, Ba'olam, Umyachlam, Nafshosim, Ba'kabolas, Avodas, Olakim, There's a lot of words. What that means is people who push off their avodas alokim because now they have a job and they're earning money and they have a nice city job, let's say in New York City, and they're going to retire, they're school teachers, and they're going to retire in 15 years, and then they'll get to work on their avodas alokim and they'll be able to learn and they'll have enough money and the social security check will come in and the pension fund and whatever, and they push off everything, and that's how terrible that is, how the world says. I don't never make it. And I'll start learning when I'm 40, you make it to 40. And that's, he attacks them and he shows, like, I think there's a list of seven foolishnesses that they're exhibiting. Vashvi is what I mean, at this point, if you learn Shara Bitachon, you probably write this parak yourself. What spoils Bitachon? What in life spoils it? From Alcide Bitachon Balakim, what ruins Bitachon? What should you stay away from? Chomash Atachon Dabar Binyan Bitachon, Lukatsa Bachalokov. And then that's what he finishes up talking about Bitachon. Okay, let's learn Parak Aleph. It's a short parak. Achmuhusa Bitachon, again, he's not talking the definition. The definition, we define it as reliance, to rely on Hashem, but it has to be coupled with the sentence, because to make sure you understand what that means, it has to be coupled with the sentence that we always relying on something, no matter what you do, whether you're crossing the street, or going to get a cup of milk, or baking a cake. Anything you do, you're relying that your body should work properly, you're relying on your memory that it works properly, you're relying that the refrigerator is working properly, you're relying on the electric company that it's working, you're relying on the Makolet guy that he got there this morning, and that the bread delivery came. We don't do anything without relying on certain assumptions, or else we would never do anything, we'd be paralyzed. Like, why should I walk out of my house and walk a block to the Makolet? Maybe the delivery guy didn't bring the milk today, maybe he didn't bring the bread today. Maybe there was an earthquake and the whole store is in an upheaval and there's nothing there. Teretz says, Bitachon is, having said that, Bitachon is to rely on Hashem. To realize that the cause of everything working, and the delivery man delivering, and the makolah still being there, and the refrigerator working, and the electric company sending electricity, everything we're relying on has a source, and that's really the only thing worth relying on, because everything comes from that. And of course that's Hashem. So Bitachon teaches us to rely on Hashem. That's the definition. What he wants to know here is what its essence is. And he says a very famous point. Its essence is to be calm. That's the best self-test you can have, besides all the things in Parak Chamishi. But the essence of it is that it's not, you outsourced it, right? I gave it over to someone. I gave over to my son a deposit to make in the bank. Now I'm free. I'm not thinking about it anymore. I know it's reliable. I know he's going to get there on time. I know he's going to make sure that he makes the deposit. I know he's not going to forget. Now, that's not that guaranteed. And maybe if I really have to make the deposit or else they're going to take my house away. We mistake calm for not caring. In other words, the reason I'm calm if I give my son a deposit to make, and I'm totally calm, is because I don't really care if he misses it. So I'll do it tomorrow. But if they're going to take away the house, if he doesn't make that deposit before the bank closes, you bet that I'm going to be nervous. When you're relying on Hashem, he's saying the essence of it is I'm not nervous at all. I outsourced it. You gave it over to India, maybe? I don't know. No, you gave it over to Hashem. Hashem is not necessarily in India. He gave it over, and it's not, it's not under your control. It's not. So, what are you going to worry? I mean, we do worry. We worry if the bus is going to come on time. We have no say in the matter. But the truth is, Hashem is going to determine if the bus comes on time. And we're calm because he's going to do his best. So the essence of Bitachon is to be calm. That's a tremendous, tremendous insight. Again, he's not defining Bitachon in the regular use of the word defined. We defined it with the word reliance, and it is meaningful only if you then remember that we always rely on something, and Bitachon teaches us to rely on Hashem. As I always say, it's a positive verb, it's an active verb. It's not like passive, I'm relying on Hashem. Why do I assume the bus is going to come when the schedule says so? Because I'm relying on Hashem that the bus is going to come on time. And that's Bitachon. That's the definition of Bitachon. He says the essence of it is that I'm calm. Menuchas nefesh haboteach. It's an amazing, amazing statement. The essence of Bitachon is menuchas nefesh haboteach. V'shehi alibo samuch al mi sheboteach olav. And I'm taka relying on him, so I'm calm. Because I dumped it on him. And I am sure sheyase hatov v'hanochon lo b'inyan sheyivtach olav. Right, I am relying on Hashem that the bus comes so that I can get to Yerushalayim. I'm relying that Hashem will do what's good for me, what's proper for me. If it's not good for me, then I might not make it. Or to reverse that, if I don't make it, it wasn't good for me. V'hanochon, something good and proper, binyan sheyiftach olav. So I don't really know what's good for me, right? But according, you know, but Hashem does. So I'm relying on, so I'm not nervous anymore. I'm not nervous. I know the best possible scenario will play itself out. Avul ha'ikar. Okay, we'll stop here. You know, the famous story from the Dubna Magid to describe the Tachon in terms of outsourcing. It's a pretty famous, I don't know if it's famous or not, but it will be soon. Right? It's on the Pasuk in Tehillim of Ahashlech al Hashem Yehovcha. The Gemara says Yehovcha is like a package. Give Hashem your package. So the Dubna Magid tells the story of a guy in a wagon, going along in a wagon, and he sees a fella trudging along, carrying a heavy package, sweating, it's a hot day, it's carrying. He says, come on to my wagon, why should you walk along? I'm going your way, come let me give you a hitch. Thank you very much. He goes into the wagon, and after 10 minutes, the guy turns around, and he sees the guy still holding the package on his shoulder, and he's still sweating, heavy package. He says, like, why are you doing that? Put down the package. So he says, well, listen, you did such a nice man, he gave me a ride. I figure the least I can do is hold the package for you. Why should you have my package also? So now if you gave me a ride, let me at least hold my package. So the guy tells him, you know, nar, what's the binst, which Mrs. Zabrowski will explain to you what that means.
Fool that you are.
I'm carrying the package anyway. My wagon is carrying the package anyway. All you're doing is taking on a burden that's totally unnecessary. Because I'm carrying the package anyway, so you have a burden, and you're sweating, and you're carrying it, it's foolish. I'm anyway carrying the package. So that's Hashem. He's anyway carrying the package. Hashem al Hashem Yehovcha, we're on the wagon, and Hashem's anyway carrying the package. So, like, what are we doing? We're foolish if we worry. He's carrying the package anyway, so, like, why do I have to carry the package for? And I feel almost with the burden of, whether it's Parnasa, or Shiduchim, or health, everything is a burden. Why do I have to carry? Well, I don't have to carry the burden. I'm free, right? The burden's off my shoulders. Someone I trust as much as it's humanly possible to trust someone and to rely on someone, that person said they're taking care of it. Oh, Hashem. Happy. You're happy. Like the guy in the wagon, he's happy. He can put down his package. Fool. So that's what the Hashem has to be talking, and that's what Dubna Magid said. That's the bottom line. Okay. So we'll have a shiur Wednesday, and then.